Welcome to the Kenai Conversation. I'm your host, Jay Barrett. Today, we talk with the candidates for House District 29, which stretches from Nikiski through Sterling, Funny River, Hope, and Cooper Landing, all the way to Seward. We couldn't manage to get both Sean Butler, the Independent, and Ben Carpenter, the Republican, in the studio at the same time, so we'll start with a conversation I had with Butler on Monday. Carpenter will be on the air live at 10:30, and if you'd like to call in, the number is 283-8414. Well, we spoke before the primary election, and you didn't have an opponent then, but now you do. Has your campaign changed at all since the primary election, and what have those changes been?
Yeah, I think there have been some changes. Certainly, I was not expecting the opponent that I have now. And the biggest thing is when that happens is that you actually look at what your opponent stands for and what kinds of things your opponent is advocating for. And then you basically at least have some adjustment in your campaign so that you address those issues or at least distinguish yourself from your opponent in terms of what you stand for. And so that's, I think, the biggest change that has occurred is listening to what he stands for and then trying to adjust my message so that I address those differences.
Mm-hmm. And how have you adjusted?
Well, one of the things that he stands for is perhaps privatization of education. And that is something that I would not support and not be in favor of because I believe that privatization of education tends to favor the wealthy at the expense of the poor. And I think that also, for instance, indicates that perhaps a lot of people that badmouth education and are upset with education sometimes don't understand, for instance, that the federal government imposes an awful lot of requirements on states in terms of education and that sometimes their anger may be a little bit misplaced. So part of that is maybe educating my constituency a little bit better or my possible constituency. But also it's like I also feel like that we need to address what we can and not just throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so that's a point. So I specifically reached out to educators, people with families with kids that do support public education. So I specifically targeted those people.
Mm-hmm. This wasn't a question until the weekend, but our governor, is an independent mm-hmm. as well, and he's dropped out of the race. Does that say anything to you, or do you have any comment on that or thoughts?
Well, I actually was very supportive of Governor Walker. I think he had to make some hard decisions, and so I think though that the thing to take away from that is that he feels very strongly that what he's doing is best for Alaska. And I think that's the advantage of an independent is that you want to do what's best for your district or for the people you represent and not just vote party lines and do things because the party says you should do them a particular way or you should vote or be a particular kind of candidate. And so I just think that he demonstrates that where his heart is in what was best for Alaska, and he did what he thought was best for Alaska. And I think that's what being an independent, nonpartisan candidate should be about.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked a little bit about that the first time we spoke. And let me ask again, in light of that, your comments about the governor, talked about whether you were an independent because you didn't want a D against your name, but it sounds like it's bigger than that and maybe even more so now.
I would say that, you know, in the several months that I have been campaigning, it's become even more important to be independent. I think that the partisan politics are really part of the reason that we're so divided and won't talk to each other. And in so many cases, I unbelievable number of cases, I talk to people that because they have a D or they have an R, they think the D's believe all these things that I know lots of D's don't believe. And likewise, the D's believe that all these R's believe what they think and are. So we're into this labeling and this categorization, and I think that it prevents us from actually talking to each other and actually coming up with effective solutions, because we just basically accuse the other side of being something that they're not necessarily part of. I definitely agree that I feel like it's even more important for me to be nonpartisan and really quite honestly see that this bipartisanship is hurting us rather than having people that actually think deeply about the problems and figure out what to do, and based on what's best for not their party, but what's best for their constituents.
Maybe you can fill us in again on the planks of your platform, the things that you stand for or hope to accomplish once in Juneau.
Yeah, so I think they're all tied. All the things I stand for tend to be tied to a long-term, stable fiscal plan that helps us weather through the ups and downs of oil prices, and in turn affects our revenue stream. And don't get me wrong, I understand that, you know, we're a state with a relatively small population, and the things that we want can't necessarily be afforded simply through taxation or one revenue source. But I think that's why it's important to look at it as a package. And so we definitely need to have a vision for growing our state and getting additional revenues from other sources. And no particular revenue supports us more than oil. And so I'm very much a supporter of continuing what we're doing with oil revenue. But I think more importantly, fish, salmon, fishing industry, tourism, other industries also bring in a lot of revenue and also help balance out our income. So I'm looking for a long-term fiscal vision for our state to help us weather through those ups and downs of oil. But I also think that we need to support public education and public safety, because they go hand in hand. We need educated, a fair and equitable public school system that is funded so that we can allow our children to be competitive globally. We're not a state all by ourselves anymore. We're part of a global industry, and we need to make sure that our children are educated and have opportunities and are competitive for jobs, Alaskan jobs, as well as for any job they want to seek. Same with public safety. We need to make sure that we're safe in our communities, that our issues, our opioid problems, our drug problems, our alcohol problems are taken care of. So we need effective solutions in that regard. And I know that I am not in favor of throwing out SB 91 because it wasn't effective, because we did pass SB 54, which went a long ways to fixing the problems with SB 91. And I think we have some room to grow in that area. And so I think we're moving in the right direction on that. And then the last thing is healthcare costs are out of control. And we pay the highest healthcare in the nation and probably almost the world in terms of what we should be paying. And that's just fundamentally wrong. So we need to start to fix that problem. And that's a complicated problem. We didn't get in that mess overnight. We're not going to get out of that mess overnight, but we certainly haven't been given any help by the federal government in how to reduce those costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the healthcare was, was it Medicaid or Medicare? I always get it mixed up. It's something that Governor Walker was in favor of, and you know,
Medicaid expansion,
yes,
particularly. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
I think people may not understand what that really means. So Medicaid expansion often serves the poor and the disabled and people that don't have a certain age where they can get Medicare right away or something. And so if you don't take care of this, first of all, it's funded a lot by the federal government. Our contribution to that is relatively small compared to what the federal government provides. And so we're getting this free money to help the poor with their medical situation. And the thing is, if we don't get it, then we pay for it. We pay for all of it. And we can't not serve them. it becomes a crisis usually then when you end up serving those people, because they don't go get preventative health care. They don't do the kinds of things that would keep their health care costs low. And so I am for Medicaid expansion because, one, 90% of it, I believe, comes from the federal government. And yes, that will be diminishing over time, but it's better than what we're going to have to do without it. So we don't have that kind of revenue to handle that situation by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned jobs. I was thinking along those lines, the gas line, the AKLNG and the plant, which, you know, everybody hopes is built in Nikiski here. Local hire on that. That seems to be sort of a big deal for folks.
Yes, and I attended the recent AGDC meeting where there were some provisions that have been added for local hire, Alaskan Hire First. And I was really glad to hear that. I do think it is possible. Sometimes you'll hear, well, that's not possible, it's just illegal. And it's like, no, you can put some conditions on contracts and stuff like that so that local hire is considered first. So that means we have to have the workforce in place to be able to meet that need and demand. And hopefully we'll get there. So.
Mm-hmm. Mike Chenault, who held the seat you're running for now, so whoever goes in to Juneau and replaces him, you or your opponent, it's going to be different for the district. And I was curious how your being the representative might differ from Mike Chenault.
I don't know in all cases. I feel very committed, I think, regularly about what's best for my district. I listen to what people have to say. I can tell you one thing that probably is going to be different is I visited every community in my district, and a lot of candidates don't. They kind of focus on the higher population areas. I don't know that every candidate has been to every community. And I, when I started, my commitment to my district was that I would not consider any community not worth my time in attending. I don't care how they are, whether they voted for me, whether they didn't vote for me, that I needed to make sure that I got to every community in my district. And so I'm committed in that regard, to town halls in all my areas, Cooper Landing. That's kind of a small area, but every person in my district is important to me. So I think Mike Chenault was very good at helping individuals with specific issues, communities with specific issues, and I would say that's where we'll probably be the same. I'll be very committed to helping. For instance, I know the Eastern Peninsula Fire and Safety EMS area is needing upgrades for their communication system. It's outdated and the equipment is no longer going to be able to be serviced by the company because the equipment's obsolete now. And so those communities definitely need to upgrade, and I'll fight to try to help them upgrade their communication equipment.
Oh, along those lines, what else have people been communicating to you about their needs in their communities in your district?
Fishing is obviously big. I just attended the Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association office this past weekend to understand the kinds of things they do to help sustain salmon and fishing in Alaska. And it was very educational in terms of the kinds of things they can do. And clearly, if they had more money, they could do more things. So fishing, supporting commercial fishermen is important, as well as that supports sports fishermen. It supports fish. It's going to support both industries. The other kinds of things, like obviously Nikiski is worried about their request for being incorporated, and I support Nikiski in that effort because I think that I would, if I were in their situation and that was happening to Hope, I think that would give them a bigger voice in the impact of the natural gas pipeline coming. So those are the kinds of things I hear. Big issue on vote one, a vote no for salmon or stand for salmon or stand for Alaska. I can see both sides of it. And I think my district is very torn. Half, maybe approximately, I don't know, want to stand for salmon, half want to stand for Alaska. And it's a very divisive issue. I think my biggest disappointment is that a lot of outside money is coming in from the corporations that want to do mining and gas and oil exploration.
You mentioned all the communities you visited. So there's Nikiski, Hope, Sterling,
yep.
Is that right?
Sterling,
Funny River?
Yep. Sterling, Funny River, Cooper Landing, Seward, Hope, and a little bit of the, I think the north part of, I want to say north, northeast part of Soldotna. I think there's a few people with Soldotna addresses in that area. So, yeah, it's a pretty widespread area. I've been to a Nikiski football game, and from my house to that football game, it's about a 2.5-hour drive. So, geographically, we're quite spread out. You know, and part of it's our road system. And so I would, it just takes me a while to get around, but I have been getting around since I started running.
Mm-hmm. Is there an airport or a runway in Hope?
There's a little runway private planes come in and out of that's not lit, so it's not feasible to fly in and out of it after dark. But it's very well maintained, and I'd say there's at least a half a dozen airplanes that are there year-round.
Okay, mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you were flying in and out to your meetings or spending a lot of time on the road.
I spend a lot of time on the road. I just came down to the Soldotna Pie auction fundraiser for the Soldotna Chamber of Commerce. And I also did a fundraiser down there, and I drove. And last week, I was at several events. One was the school board meeting, and I flew there from Anchorage because I have to work in Anchorage during the weekdays. So one of the things I'd be happy to do is to win and not have to come to Anchorage so much anymore. And then I also flew down for the AGDC meeting and then flew back. And so I'm very grateful for the Kenai Airport. And getting back and forth is really convenient for me. It beats driving. I came home Saturday night. It was a pretty heavy storm Saturday through the pass. So, but I'm kind of used to it, so mm-hmm. I didn't have too many problems.
Yeah, some of the worst driving weather I've ever seen was on along Cook Inlet, I tell you.
Yes.
Because it just comes blowing through there, as you know. So.
Yeah, my signs get blown down pretty regularly.
Oh.
So fortunately, I have a good group of people that are volunteering to fix them for me.
Mm-hmm. Regarding your group of people, like this sort of prompted a thought here. How's your campaign doing, I guess, with people and funds?
Difficult, yeah. So it's difficult to, you know, I've learned a lot in campaigning. It's difficult. There's no polling, so we don't know, you know, how well I'm doing. You have to be careful when you talk to people, and if you only talk to people that, you know, just agree 100% with what you say and not talk to people that disagree, then, you know, you get this false sense that you're doing really well. So I particularly like talking to people who disagree with me on a couple of issues. And I like hearing their perspective. Sometimes I learn things or I don't see things until I hear them and say, oh, well, from that perspective, I understand. Yeah, that's a good point, and I need to keep that in mind. So in terms of the breadth of people, I certainly have been trying to reach out to a lot of different people. And my feedback is, you know, sometimes, you know, they're 100% behind what I'm trying to do, and other people are, you know, it's good enough. And so it's somehow difficult to tell. So without polling, you don't really know how you're doing. But I think overall, I think financially, we're able to do most of the things we want to do. Obviously, the more money you have, the more you can do. And so I've learned about campaigning that it does take money. And if there's an extra $100 somebody donates, then that $100 will get put to good use and we'll get my name out there more. So, but I think if you look At the APOC in general, I think I'm in the ballpark of campaign spending. But, you know, I'm not in downtown Anchorage where, you know, everybody's making a lot of money and can give a lot. And I appreciate every dollar I get.
Mm-hmm. Has the Democratic Party supported you at all or offered any support or?
They offer some support. I definitely like to, and I was very clear with them when they offered to support that I didn't want any strings attached, that I was going to be my own person, and please don't ever come to me and say, well, because we supported you, you need to do this. But mostly I bought into the coordinated campaign so that I could actually get information through their system so I could make calls to undeclareds and nonpartisans. And that's pretty critical because without that, somebody who's nonpartisan, if they don't have a phone list, there's no way you can know how to reach out to the people that you need to specifically reach out to. So a lot of that was new to me. I'd never been involved in politics before, campaigning for sure. Definitely been involved in politics in terms of caring about who was elected, but not particularly actually what it takes to campaign. So it's been an interesting process. But yeah, through the coordinated campaign, I have to pay for that because I'm not a Democratic candidate. So okay. I pay for that.
Yeah. There seems to be nationwide, I'm not sure about Alaska. I haven't really looked at who's running around the state in other districts, but women seem to be running for office in numbers greater than ever. I think maybe I asked you this the first time we talked, but I don't know, maybe it might be worth asking again. Are you feeling a part of that movement, or is this or is that too defining, narrowing? I mean,
well, I will have to say I don't feel part of that movement, mostly because I'm issue focused rather than wondering that maybe more women should be elected or we don't have a stronger voice. I guess I just don't think like that. I'm very issue focused. And so for me, I have my head down. I'm campaigning in my district because I care about my district. I care about the state. And it just doesn't, I don't think about the gender of who's running, I guess. It just never occurred. I deal with people. And whether it's a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. I'm more interested in the person I'm working with or dealing with than surprising me. You know, I have a military background. I spent a lot of years in the military in a very male organization. And I always felt like you need to deal with the person, not whether they're a particular gender or something like that. So to me, I guess I'm kind of not even on that wavelength in terms of that. It's like, oh, there's another statistic somebody throws out, but I'm like, well, what difference does it make? And, you know, we should be voting for the issue and the people that define the issues rather than care about whether we have more women or men voting. But I mean, that's just because I'm focused on my campaign.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We've only got like 4 or 5 minutes left here. What else should I ask you? Or would you like to add, you know, that isn't just vote for me at the end here. Do you have anything else I should have asked you or you'd like
to
say?
Yeah, well, there's one issue that has come up that I think is very important to talk about, and that is growing Alaska. So one of the things I want to see is to grow Alaska. And one of the ways I have a vision for that is increasing our residential broadband, which is what we call internet. Most people call it internet across the state. And I think that's important. I know there's been, you know, some efforts, but those are limited in the Kenai Peninsula to improve our broadband. But I think there's a lot more we can be doing. And the reason I think that's so critical to our growth is that residential broadband or internet allows us to deliver telemedicine more cheaply than having people have to fly in for some of their care. And I've talked to some people recently where mental health, that's one of the biggest impact areas, is in mental health areas that telemedicine can really help The other thing it does is it allows us to deliver distance education, quality distance education throughout Alaska, so you don't have to leave your communities all the time to go to school or to learn something. And then the other thing it does is e-commerce. It allows us to grow small businesses anywhere in the state that has connectivity to internet, good connectivity, not crappy connectivity, but good connectivity, so that you can run a business from your community or from your home. And I think that's super important if you want to grow Alaska. And it's getting to be analogous to having telephones and the ability for everyone to have a telephone. If you can have a telephone, you can have internet. So anyway, that's one of my main objectives, is to try to expand residential broadband across Alaska.
Mm-hmm. The state,
and particularly in my district.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. I live right on the edge of high speed. The state, though, has been pretty hands-off as far as things like broadband goes. Is that something you think you could get people on board with?
I don't know. I think I've heard enough from my every time I mention it. And I didn't mention it early because I thought, oh, probably nobody cares about it. I care about it because I see that as a vision of how we can grow the state, how we can provide education more cost effectively. But I thought it might be like, oh, nobody cares. But actually, when I mention it, people care a lot about it. I'm amazed. And, you know, if nothing more than to be able to communicate with your loved ones and stay in touch with those people that are not in state or they're across state. So I do think so. In the 30s, I think it was the 30s, the federal government said everybody needs to have a phone, and we're going to make sure that they do. And they passed some legislation. That's why we would pay extra taxes and stuff on our phone bills, so that everybody could have a phone, whether you lived in the middle of Nebraska or anywhere. And so I do think that the state could contribute to the infrastructure. It's not going to be that they're going to pay for your internet, but they can support the development of the infrastructure so that we can reach everyone, and then they can individually decide whether they want to be on the internet. But I found that a lot of people who say they don't want to be on the internet change their minds once they get access to it. That certainly happened in my community.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People say, oh, I don't need it. I've lived without it, or, you know, I don't see the purpose. And then once it comes in, they start finding their own reasons why that's a good thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
is there how fast is the internet in Hope?
Well, depends on where you live in Hope. Some people aren't in that circle of speed. And so, for instance, my internet is quite good, but I have several friends who live a mile up the road and have horrible internet, horrible. They can't do anything practically. They're so frustrated. And there's, you know, that can be fixed. That technically can be fixed. And so, again, I'm not saying that your internet should be free. I'm just saying we should be investing in Alaska, and that investment in Alaska that helps Alaska grow and prosper. The internet is part of that equation.
You know, I've seen the state over the years take down roadblocks and ease the way for the oil industry a lot. And it would be nice if they sort of did something like that for things like broadband.
That's what I think. And I'm interested in being on the committees that can make that happen. So.
Great. Well, Sean Butler, anything else I should ask you here today?
No, I hope I've been clear about my position, and just the only other thing is people should contact me at SeanButler for statehouse@gmail.com if they have any questions.
All right. Terrific. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you taking the time, you know, to call in after class. I know on Mondays you're busy.
Yeah, that's okay. I really like the opportunity to make sure I can get my messages out and let people make up their own mind think is important.
That was a pre-recorded segment with House District 29 candidate Sean Butler of Hope. Stay tuned, because in a couple of minutes, we'll be back live with candidate Ben Carpenter in the studio. If you'd like to call in with questions, the number is 283-8414.